It's time for Over There with Mirella Rostroffer. Mirella is our European correspondent. She joins us weekly. Rumor has it she is over there in the relatively civilized country of Switzerland, still. Not moving around. Well, I don't know. Hi, Mirella. How are you? What's going on?
Hi, Jill. Yeah, I like very much the relatively.
Yeah.
Well, from Switzerland with a conversation today about the fashion world, the fashion industry in the COVID-19 times. As we spoke many times before and read and saw on TV, many industries are very badly hit by this pandemic. And we spoke a lot about the tourism industry, the airplane industry, the theaters, the restaurants, but we didn't really touch upon the subject of fashion. And this is definitely also a field that has been hit quite badly and is going now into a dramatic change of habits and probably also different habits for the future. This is a field that is considered sometimes a little bit more superficial and non-essential. And maybe that's also the reason why it's less talked about. But it is an industry that it's a really a multi-billion industry, and one where a lot of people work into and basically have either lost their job or are waiting for better times. The thing is that the fashion industry was a little bit in trouble before the pandemic. And that is, it was very often accused already of extreme waste and overproduction in countries where, for example, people were not paid or are not paid enough for the kind of job they do for our fashion brands. So there was already an entire discussion on those topics about how to make fashion sustainable, about how to improve the manufacturing conditions, about how to reuse or to recycle clothes instead of throwing away, plus obviously all the environmental concerns and social concerns and ecological concerns that were also linked to that. It was basically a discussion before the pandemic that was about being less wasteful. I think we can basically put it in two words, how to be less wasteful. So now the question is, what is going to happen in the future? Many retailers, unfortunately, already went bankrupt and will simply disappear, and others will adapt. And we can take an example, the famous Gucci Italian brand, which seems to be wanting to make drastic changes for the future, even when the pandemic is under control. We can, for example, say that they would like to do two fashion shows instead of five. The fashion shows are also a dynamic that made people travel all over the world all the time, knowing that fashion weeks take place in Milano, in London, in New York, in Paris. All the fashion editors, the top models, the clients of those brands, everybody traveling all over the place to attend those shows. So it was definitely a very hectic way of presenting fashion. So by making two fashion shows instead of five per year, it's already much less in that sense. Another improvement would be to have no seasonal collections anymore, which would mean that clothes can be worn just anytime and would be much more timeless. And also, Gucci is planning to have no real distinction between menswear and womenswear, which is a very innovative way of seeing the future of fashion. So that would be as a small example of what can be made. Another thing is also something really interesting, and it's the fact that some people are very organized in what they call hubs. They are called Shaping Fashion, Global Shapers Community. They shape fashion in the way of offering conferences, seminars, courses, platform basically where to discuss and where to give also advice on how to improve the fashion world. And they, as I said, they have 350 hubs worldwide. So one can really feel that there is the necessity to keep the fashion world alive, but in a different manner, and a manner that also answers most of the criticism that were there already before the pandemic. In terms of buying clothes, there is also a way to do it differently. For example, in asking two fundamental questions like who made my clothes or what are they made of? And that would also maybe force people in the industry to change some old bad habits and try to improve and be able to basically stand for their fashion, knowing that it has been made in the best possible conditions. That would be innovation, that would be respect of the environment, that would be a way to be sustainable and a way to manufacture those clothes by respecting human rights and by making sure that people that work in that industry, even though they are working in poorer countries, still get the wages that they deserve for the job they do. And all of this would allow basically the fashion industry to refocus, find new ways, innovate, and be basically the fashion industry of the future, which will be one of the many industries that is probably going to be radically transformed after the COVID-19 pandemic, but hopefully for the best. And hearing the many promises that are made today, one would definitely think that it's going to be for the best and stay there for the pleasure of all the fashionistas in the world.
Also, I would think that there are other businesses like that, industries that people don't necessarily focus on, except for the glitz part. You know, it's very glitzy. It's very seductive, and it's actually the basis of creating an interest around objects and so forth, you know, fashion for what there's an abstract around fashion, art, etc. And I notice with interest as museums are reopening, and there just seems to be a little a little more energy. And you know, this is also, one would think, an opportunity to get rid of, I mean, there is no let's just say, industry that doesn't bear scrutiny and that can't improve its situation.
And yes, absolutely.
It would be great if this pandemic were an excuse, but the best possible excuse, were a rationalization to do that, so that it's less horror stories and more equality, you know, more if not equality, then more correctness. Let's just say that for a start.
That's absolutely correct. And, you know, there are many industries that are not considered essential. And it's all what is about creation, basically. Fashion is creation, art is creation, design is creation. And while not essential, it is part of our human nature to be wanting to create things. And if this is now the opportunity to do it in a better way, by keeping also all these people working, because this is also a very important point, then I guess we will reach something that at the end will be much better than what we had. And this is maybe the positive side of something that has been otherwise absolutely dramatic.
And again, creativity has been a feature since the beginning of time. So it's more abstract, but that being said, it is as essential, you know, as, for example, in this dramatic period, more people have learned about going outside. Well, you know, that's part of a more balanced, more measured life. And my only point is that creativity is, you can't strip out the essential, in my view, you can't strip out the essential, like, no, it's not, manufacturing a protective gear, but in its own way, the creative component is as essential as anything else that one has to deal with.
Absolutely. And one can really see it during this pandemic. Yes, while the focus remain to be healthy and to have something to eat, people are longing for music, for art, for design. It is absolutely not essential, but it is part of us. And it is what also makes life so interesting, just creating, and in whatever field, there are so many after all. And this has been interesting to see how many people, even through computers, through whatever means possible, when social distancing is necessary, have still tried to create and to do something. So that is a very interesting part of what happened these past few months. And I am absolutely certain that after the pandemic is under control, that people are going to be back to be even more creative as before, if possible.
Thank you very much, Mirella Rostorfer, over there.
My pleasure.